Well, good morning, Times Square Church. What a joy it is to be here this morning. I thank Pastor Carter for the invitation to speak Sunday morning. I know that this is an important time. It is a time when many people tune in and listen to this message. And God has given this pulpit a voice and an influence. And so it is with humility and I believe with a word from the Lord that I stand before you this morning. A word of greeting also to those that are in Roxbury and for all those that are listening online all over the world. I want to speak to you this morning on a message that's entitled, "The Next Step is Important." The next step is important. And I'm going to ask if you would turn with me, please, in your Bible to two places. Psalm 130 is our main text this morning. Psalm 130. And the other place that I'm going to ask you to turn to is 2 Kings 17 in the Old Testament. 2 Kings 17. So we'll mostly be in Psalm 130, but there is something important in 2 Kings 17 for us to look at and consider this morning. The next step is important. Before we start, let's pray. Father, I thank you today. You are our God. You are a Father. You've sent your Son. You have sent us Jesus. And he is in our midst. Lord, he reigns in our heart. I pray now, Lord, that you would open your word to us by the power of the Spirit and make it living. I pray all that you want to do with a living word, Lord, have your way. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to hear it and receive it, and that, Lord, we would bear much fruit because of it. I thank you. You are so faithful to us. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do today. I thank you, Lord, for that we will be, there is eternity, Lord, when your word is preached under the anointing. So, Lord, we ask you to put and stamp eternity in our hearts, O God, that all our days we may pull from what you are doing in our midst at this time, Lord, for your praise and your glory. Have your way, and we will be grateful. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Psalm 130, the first five verses. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. This psalm starts out with, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, out of the depths. This is a deeply felt prayer. This is a deeply felt psalm. It's coming out of a place of a rock bottom honesty and out of a place of deep need. Perhaps the psalmist, when he wrote this, was feeling overwhelmed. Perhaps in his following the Lord, he had hit circumstances that seemed overwhelming. And he was facing maybe an area of his life, his ministry, his walk with the Lord. For a season, it seemed hopeless. Maybe there was a deep sense of failure, a deep sense of sin. Maybe he loved the Lord, and yet he seemed to struggle so much. And he says, "Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, hear me." He goes, be attentive, not just hear me, but he says, be attentive to the voice of my earnest prayer. And I'm thinking, this cry, oh Lord, hear me, be attentive. Every word, every nuance, the backstory, the things I say, the things I don't say in this position, Lord, of being incredibly open and being incredibly in anguish. And I'm praying from the depths right now of my experience. I'm not on the hilltop, but I'm being real with you, Lord. And I need you to be attentive now, not just hear me, but be attentive. And if heaven is busy, I need a moment of your undivided attention And I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's like, Lord, I have no answers, and I'm facing something, and I know you are God, but right now I really need to know you are attentive, and I have your undivided attention in what, at this moment, at this stage, and I have to know that you are hearing me. And beloved, I just want to say, in all my experience of prayer, is that whenever there is an authentic cry and there is reality in it, that a prayer becomes inhabited by the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, you start praying, you start in one position and you start praying. And the next thing, the Holy Spirit, because you're dealing in reality, you're dealing to the God who is and the God who hears and the God who answers. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit gets mixed into this prayer, and you must have experienced it, and I know I have. And you start out one place, from one place praying, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins speaking through our prayer, and the truth of the situation becomes clearer and clearer. And he starts out in the depths, but all of a sudden, he says in verse 3, "If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" And there is this realization that, God, I'm here by grace, and I'm here by invitation. And Lord, if you take a clipboard out, and if you start marking all that I have done or not done, if you start keeping an account and a record of how I am doing, Lord, I'm not going to be able to stand. I can't stand in my own merit before you. I can't stand before you with a record of all the wonderful things that I have done, because at this very moment, I am very aware of how short I fall, Lord, of living a life that sometimes I feel pleases you. But then he's quickened to remember, but Lord, if you mark iniquities, who's going to stand? There will be none that stand before you. I certainly will not be standing. No one will be standing. And you choose to stand, O Lord, with an imperfect people. And now I believe the Holy Ghost takes it one step farther in this prayer. It's not just, O Lord, there is none righteous before you, not one. That if we are your people able to stand by grace, but in a way that pleases you, it's because you have put your life within us. And all that we have that's good is from you. Every spiritual strength is from you. The relationship we have is because you started it, because you chose us. And the Holy Ghost goes farther, and he says in verse 4, but there is forgiveness with you. But there is forgiveness. If I see where I'm failing, and I know where I'm failing, but the Holy Spirit is in this honest prayer. And he goes, but there is forgiveness with thee. And beloved, I want to say, stop right here and say, as the Holy Spirit's taking him further into the prayer, but there is forgiveness for you with thee for what? There is forgiveness with thee for a purpose. There is forgiveness with thee for a reason. There is forgiveness with thee for a conclusion. There is forgiveness with thee for an outcome. There is forgiveness with thee for a next step. And it's a next step. It says that you may be feared. There is forgiveness with thee that you may be feared. Beloved, I want to say that for those that know the Lord Jesus Christ and know what it is to live a forgiven life, we have to be reminded to the depth and the amount of grace that we are forgiven. That it is not just an occasional forgiveness, but we live in a culture of forgiveness. We live in a culture of grace. And we've got to be able to come boldly to a throne in time of need and say, Lord, in spite of knowing so much, I still need your forgiveness. In spite of knowing what I know and walking the way I walk, I thank you there is forgiveness with you. I thank you, Lord, I need a revelation of how much I need to walk in what you offer me. A forgiveness that goes to the depths of things, and that I don't have to be pushed back because I'm disappointed in myself one more time. But there is forgiveness with you, but beloved, that you may be feared. That there may come into us this holy reverence and awe and honor That this, why won't be taking, accepting a greasy grace, but Lord, you will come to me every time I need you, as often as I need it. I'm not going to push myself away from the table of grace because I'm disappointed in myself, or I feel like I've met a stronghold that seems to overpower me. I will keep coming to that place of forgiveness because there is forgiveness with you. But I pray, oh God, that it takes me to the next step, that I may fear you, that I may know what it is to have a fear of the Lord, that an awe and a respect and a reverence comes along with what you are doing with this forgiveness in my life. Beloved, this fear of the Lord that stems from grace, from forgiveness, because in Christ there is a cross. And he paid the ultimate penalty. He laid everything down for us that we may have life. There is a cross at the center of our theology. And we are completely forgiven. And we are always forgiven because we've entered into a relationship, a covenant relationship with God himself. He sets the terms of this relationship. And he said, when you come to me, whosoever will come to me will and open their heart and say, Lord, forgive me. I am a sinner. I ask you to take my life. And I ask that now you live your life through me. I pray, Lord, that you will do what is necessary that I can live a lifestyle that pleases you. And the Lord says, I will and I do. And he offers us cleansing and he offers us forgiveness for everything. To write back from the very first memory of sin. And then he says, not only that, but I'm going to take you now. I'm going to forgive you, but I bring you into a relationship where I put my Holy Spirit within you. And you will never be at peace with your sin. And there will be desire for you for new things and a new way. That my Holy Spirit dwelling in you will cause you to want to be like my son, Jesus. And this is the evidence that we are saved. Not that we've said a prayer, although that's the first and starting point for a sincere heart, but that something has changed within us. And it is a power greater than ourselves. And that we are never at peace with sin, and that we desire to be like Jesus. And he says, come to me, all you are heavy laden. And I don't care if it's 100 times a day. Come to me if you are heavy laden. I am the remedy for sin. I just don't have the remedy. I am the remedy. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Sin shall not have dominion over my people. You look to me and live. Look to me and you will live. I live within you and look up. You will look to me and you will live. Not once, not twice, but a culture, a lifestyle of being reconciled to God, no longer an enemy of God. We are not under the wrath of God, but we have been taken into a glorious light, a glorious kingdom, a glorious relationship. Because Jesus paid the price for sin, and now we live in him, and he presents us to our Father. And when the Father looks at us, he sees no sin, he sees Jesus. Hallelujah. He sees no failure. He sees what his son did to reconcile us to himself. And Jesus presents us to the Father spotless and without wrinkle because it's his life that overcomes our sin, overcomes our failure. And we have this hope that being reconciled to God, we have peace with God, and his blessing and his favor rests upon those that are forgiven. And what do we do when we fall short after we've come into this relationship? What do we do when we feel like we've missed the mark and we are in Christ being presented to the Father? Beloved, we say, Lord, I thank you. You live in me and I'm not happy with it. I'm not reconciled to it. And I refuse to bend my knee to it because you are greater and you are changing me. Hallelujah. We do not have to give up. We do not have to give ground in places of failure. We do not have to say, there is no hope for me in God. Never. Because Christ lives in me. Because sin is not imputed to a believer. Because Jesus gives us the gift of holiness, the gift of righteousness. It's not ours. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We are given it as a gift so that we can enter the courts of heaven and we can praise and pray and be heard, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And brother and sister, we don't just have power to live a life in God. We have power to die to things. Did you know how you have the power to say no? We are given the power to die to things. Things that used to captivate us. When we say, oh God, out of the depths I cry, and hear me when things overcome me, I thank you. You are attentive. You hear that cry. And he says, there is forgiveness for you. And I thank God that when we say, Lord, I thank you, in you I've been given a new mind. A new mind. The mind of Christ. In you, I've been given a new heart, not a heart of stone, but a heart that cares, a heart that wants to please you, a heart that can be stirred with compassion for others, a heart that is connected to you. So much in this society is people now becoming more and more disconnected, disconnected from reality, disconnected from one another, disconnected from family. But in Christ, we are connected to the God Most High. And the hope and the ability to be connected one to another in a meaningful way, an ability to say, I'm sorry, an ability to change, an ability to hope, an ability to be connected in a way that is so attractive and deals in reality. We've been given a new heart, a new mind, and a new spirit. God is a spirit, and he dwells in our spirit. And he is the one who is taking us and saying, look, walk with me, and I will take you to places that are impossible with you. And I will take you by my spirit, and you will, we will press into places of darkness in your life. We will press into places of fear. We will press into places where there is no victory. And I want to tell you, the Lord is saying to us today, I've never lost a victory, and you're not going to be the first. Hallelujah. I want to say for those that are troubled in their minds today, that when hell casts and throws up pictures in your mind that you can't seem to get free of, and pictures in your mind that bring shame, I want you to remind you, beloved, Jesus said, if you are a believer, he said, I chose you, and you are worthy to be loved, and you are worthy to be invested in. And he says, I understand this battle, but you see, I am greater, and do not give up. And do not give in to a hopeless state, for I am with you, and there is forgiveness for you. And you can say, Lord, I thank you now. You understand the depths of my struggle. You understand, when I'm completely honest with you, what the situation is I find myself in. But I thank you, you do not mark iniquities. You are not keeping the record now, because I have come to you and I belong to you, and you will work a transformation in me, because you are good and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. But beloved, to know that we are a deeply forgiven people means we have to go to the next step, that we know that there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. You see, what we need to be in this deeply forgiven relationship that we are offered through Christ alone is that we have to move from knowing we are forgiven people to be God-fearing people. That's the next step, it tells me in Psalm 130. And in that place of knowing that we are forgiven, not content with failure, we say, Lord, what is the next step? And I believe that that next step is living in the light of Calvary. We say, by the power of God within me, I thank you, Lord, that you are going to put into my character a fear of God, a fear of the Lord, a sense of awe toward you, a sense of respect, a sense of honor, a sense that you are God, you are alive, that I will bend my knee to you, that we're not just a forgiven people, but we are a people who fear God. We fear him. There is that reverence, respect, that awe, and that he is not to be mocked. So that we can end up saying, by his grace with us, by his mercy, by his long suffering with us, but eventually this testimony gets built in us. Because I know how deeply forgiven I am. I know what is offered to me in Christ. There are some things I would not dare to do. There are some places I would not dare to go. There is a dread of crossing a certain line. Now, the people who know they are deeply forgiven are not afraid of this, and they welcome it. And they say, God, you've got to begin to form this in my character. You've got to come and do this next step of understanding the depths of my forgiveness. I have to be taken, that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That you may have honor and respect, that you may be, Lord, you are God, and I'm not going to play a game. You know, there is a God-like culture, and I use that God-like in quotations. There is always a group of people that will say they serve the Lord, but they've joined a culture that profanes the sacred. And there is such thing as a counterfeit fear of the Lord. And in 2 Kings 17, if you had a marker there, but just let us read together 2 Kings 17, verse 32. It's speaking to Israel now. It says, so they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. Verse 33, they feared the Lord and served their own gods. Verse 34, and unto this day they do after the former manners. And here's the thing, they fear not the Lord. Here's the thing, they have a testimony. And Israel at that time in their history, when they were the chosen people of their time and on the earth, they had a mongrel religion in the end of it. That had such mixture in it that they could say one to another, we fear the Lord. And yet, beloved, it was anything but. They had a mongrel religion. They had what they felt. They had the testimonies. They had the prophets. They had the priests. They had the worship. They had the altar. They had everything. What God had revealed to man at that time was a kind of worship that pleased him and said, this is how you please me. This is how you worship me. They had all that, and yet they took on the practices of the land, and it became this mixture, and it was the real thing mixed with pagan practices. It was the real thing mixed with a voodoo. It was a real thing mixed with the gods of that society. And yet they were so convinced that they feared the Lord. And beloved, if we move that in today to the chosen people who have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, the Son, and who are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, has there not been a people that proclaim that and now live in a culture, and now many times our places of worship end up resembling more the high places than ever before? Has not something that is sacred been mixed with temple sport and temple business and temple entertainment? And a mixing up of things of Christ and other gods. In 2 Kings 17, they said, we fear the Lord. And beloved, because I want to say, when it comes to the things of God, there can be the wrong fear and the right fear. The right fear is that sense of awe and respect and reverence, and that we do not cross a line because he is God and he will not be mocked. But then there's a wrong fear, and it's kind of that anxious, that kind of dread of, you know, we do think there is a God, but there is, it's never, he's never reckoned with. And so what happens was they slap God over their practices. And then they, whatever they want to give themselves up to, they had just enough God to pacify their conscience. They slap their worship on what, however they wanted to do it, so that they could pursue what they wanted to do. They said, we are a good people. And it became like a salve to just cover rebelliousness and cover their intent. That God really wasn't in the mix at all, but there was a fear, you know, we don't want to say we don't believe in God. No, that's kind of scary. We don't want to say, you know, God is not our God, but there's no reality to it. There's no reality to it. There's no awe in it. There's no transformation. There's no miracles. And beloved, I want to say there's no forgiveness there either. Today in our culture, we can publicly sing God Bless America, but let the heart, mind, and spirit be captivated by whatever it is we really worship in this nation. But God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. Darkness covers a nation, and the evidence is increasing vileness, increasing violence, increasing divisions. A breakdown of everything that contributes to health and wholesomeness for our young. Israel got carried away out of the promised land because of these mixtures, because of these practices. They were taken and carried out of the land after this part of their history. They crossed a line. And I believe, beloved, Christian America is rapidly crossing a line. Christians are increasingly being asked to join the promotion of evil or else risk the loss of religious freedoms. And at some point, I feel the fear of the Lord has to take over the fear of man. Verse 36 in 2 Kings 17, it says, but the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, him shall ye worship, and to him shall ye do sacrifice. And I'm saying that I believe that there is a call, the next right step of those that name the name of Jesus Christ, that Lord, we begin to take. We understand how forgiven we are, but we take the next step into the fear of the Lord. And we ask him to be able to create an altar of contrast where it's not lip service to him, but that we begin to say, Lord, I thank you. The next logical step of knowing how forgiven I am is that you may be feared, that there may be a reverence and an awe of you in my character, in my lifestyle, in my culture. It shows up. It shows up. If people know me, there's something different because there's things I don't do. There's places I don't go. There's a line I will not cross. And when that fear of the Lord gets a hold of us, every other fear breaks its power over us. So how do I get that fear of the Lord? Verse returning to Psalm 130, the Lord says, I know how to do this. I know how to build this into my people. Psalm 130, if we can backtrack, verse 3, if thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? You know so very well the natural condition of flesh, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. So I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. And beloved, that's, I believe, how we get the fear of the Lord, is that I wait for the Lord. I wait on him. I wait on him. I wait on him. I wait on him to serve him. I wait on him for him to give me the next move. I wait on him because I know he'll talk to me. I wait on him because I know he has the answer. I wait on him. I'm not running ahead of him. I'm not going to be formed and fashioned by the trends of this world. I wait on him. I wait on him to sort it out. I wait on him for the courage that he will give me because I am forgiven. I wait on him for strength because he will give me strength. I wait on him because he will give me guidance. Hallelujah. I wait on him. So many times we just rush into our day. We rush through our life. We rush through difficult relationships. And the Lord said, but if you would wait on me. I will do the miraculous. The scripture says, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we wait on him. We are given a heavenly wisdom. We are given a wisdom that is not from man and it's not from our natural understanding. We are given a wisdom from above. We wait on him because as we wait on him, we show that we fear, that we respect, that we honor him. We go, Lord, I present what is before me to you. I wait on you. I have this fear. I know you have everything under control. I'm bending my knee. And when the enemy tells me it's hopeless, when the enemy tells me there's no way forward, I understand, Lord, that's not true. I'm calling him a liar right now. And then I bend my knee and I wait on you. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Beloved, there is so much wisdom that we can have in our life because we have a fear of the Lord and we're waiting on him. That wisdom from above that is pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It is full of mercy. It's full of good fruits. It's without partiality. It is without hypocrisy. There is a wisdom that is so crystal clear that will be made available to you and me if we wait on him. We offer him our difficult places. We offer him those places that seem impossible, and yet we are going to be trained. I thank you, Lord. If my hand was in this for hurt, if my hand, I have sinned, if I have fallen short, I thank you. There is forgiveness with you, but that you may be feared. So I say, Lord, I wait on you. And thank you, you will give me wisdom. And thank you, I'll be given understanding for what faces me. Beloved, we need to wait on him in the morning. We've got to see his face first before we see another human's face. I was sharing with the students this week at the school. I said, beloved, my beloved students, don't just be settled for half the experience at this school. As good as the chapels are, as good as the classroom is, as good as all that we have structured for them, it's good. But the important thing is you seek his face. It's not what we give you, it's what he gives you. Seek his face. I said, make sure that most of the time, that's what you're doing in the mornings. I said, there are mornings if you need to sleep, sleep. But most of the time, be up, be in your place. Say, Lord, I fear you enough to understand that only you can direct my life as it needs to be directed. And I thank you, there will be peace that passes understanding as I seek your face first. I thank you, direction and clarity. I thank you, a peace that comes from wisdom from above that is peaceable and pure and full of good fruits and without hypocrisy. It goes right through the confusion to the heart of the matter. And some mornings you just get up and you just wait with him, just to hang out with him. I remember one of the students just this week told me a time when he was in depths of despair. He was addicted to drugs. He had failed his family. He had failed himself. He had failed everything he had known. He was raised a Christian, went far away, addicted to drugs. And he said there was a day he went home. They took him home high. He was addicted. And he just sat in his bedroom, overcome with shame and fear. And that night, his dad just came in his bedroom, and he just sat there all night. He didn't say a word to him. He just sat with him. Because there was nothing to say. It was just his presence. I haven't given up on you, son. I'm here for you. I am with you. I am for you. Hallelujah. And when we have that sense, you know, beloved, we just honor him and reverence him enough that, Lord, I don't fit you into my day. You have fitted me into your life. And I honor you for that. And I honor you for that. Beloved, how are we going to stand in this dark hour when we live in a such a lukewarm form of worship that people are completely blinded? And because they can sing a hymn, because they know the words of Amazing Grace, they don't understand that the fear of the Lord is not in their midst, and they live any way they want and then call any form of worship they offer up Jesus. But I believe the Lord wants to do something. The next important step is a people that will fear him. We will face him one day. We will give an account. There will be a rendering. He is a God of justice. He loves justice. He loves judgment. There will be a day of reckoning. But beloved, there is forgiveness with him to the uttermost, to the depths, that he may be feared. To me, this is this wonderful balance of what keeps us completely balanced, that we have a theology that truly works, that there is transformation in our lives because we have both. And I say, Lord, help us now. I've asked, Lord, that this kind of what I'm talking about today is there is really, it works, it gets worked into my character. This fear of the Lord is worked into my character. And it really does change the way I walk this earth and the way that I deal with people. And this understanding, I believe every day that we rise and say, Lord, I'm going to wait on you today. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to commit my way to you. I'm going to ask for your guidance. I'm going to ask. Don't get hung up on, you know, the length of time, but just make sure that, Lord, today I'm going to engage you. Today there's going to be a spirit on spirit kind of transfer. And when we do that, when we've been in his presence, it changes everything. And we walk different. We leave that place different. We walk different. And one of the things is we know that his eye is upon us. And we know that no small thing, anything that we do is not a small thing. I tell the students there is no such thing as a secular job with a spiritual heart. Everything we do as is unto the Lord. I remember one time one of the students told me one of their greatest acts of faith and one of their greatest acts of worship was they went back and cleaned the toilet on the far side. Because he knew that what the job entailed, you had to clean all of the toilet, inside and out, including the back spot against the wall that nobody sees, and what does it matter? And he said he didn't do it, so he walked away. And he was walking out, and he got convicted. And the Lord said, I see it. He went back, and that spot, you know, that nobody saw but the Lord. And he left singing. He left free. And I say that's the practical. This is the practicality of fear of the Lord. This is the practicality. We wait on him. And we know. Hallelujah. We know he sees it all and it matters to him. There's no big people and no little people. We know that we can go to him because we have a direct connection. You matter. Your prayers matter. Your prayers change things. My prayers change things. And in his presence, as we wait on him, we see answers to prayer. He causes us to pray prayers. He answers. Hallelujah. But we have to wait on him to pray those kind of prayers. That's what the psalmist in 130 did. Out of the depths I cried to you, O Lord. I'm in your presence and I'm waiting on you. And the Holy Ghost moved him from the depths to saying I'm hearing, to saying I'm attentive, to saying you matter, to saying what you pray I'm going to answer, to say that if, Lord, how awesome and how long-suffering you are, because if you mark iniquities, not one stands, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. So I will wait on the Lord. I will wait, oh my soul. I will wait, mind, emotions, heart. I will wait on you. You will break the depths of the darkness. You will change that tormenting spirit. You will deliver me from the things that hinder me, before you are good. And in your word will I hope. And I will quote this word to my enemy. And I will quote this word to the world. I will quote it to my own heart. And the fear of the Lord will shape me. Hallelujah. I want to close with this, beloved. Job 28:28. Easy to remember. Job 28:28. It says, truly the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. And beloved, we have to live in an hour now. We have to be people of understanding. We have to be people of power. And it's so available to us. Let us take the next important step, knowing how forgiven we are, to asking that the fear of the Lord be in us and made seen through us, that we will wait on him and our lives will dramatically change if we will do that. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. I have a very unusual altar call for this message, and it's just this. If we are a forgiven people, that means you are loved and you are going to make it. That's what that means. Forgiven means you are loved and you are going to make it. And there are those that I felt the Lord tell me that there are some people who truly right now for a season, they are struggling in their mind. They are struggling. They are struggling with doubts. They're struggling with what seems an impossible situation. There are some of you that are struggling with images in your mind. And you feel so defiled and you feel hopeless. You don't know where it comes from. Can I tell you, beloved, some of you were exposed to pornography when you were very young. And you didn't go looking for it. It came looking for you. And some of you have because of a past lifestyle, there are just out of nowhere, there is a vileness. There are things that the enemy wants to just seem to defile you. Today, the Lord is saying, there is forgiveness, a deep forgiveness. I love you. I've called you to myself. And the Lord is saying, you wait on me. You wait on me. You're going to see to the depths of how I break these things up. And I will bring you into a place of that renewed and a cleared spirit and a mind. And this is a call for people. You're struggling maybe with doubt. You're struggling to believe God is good. You are struggling somehow. And I feel like the Lord is saying, there is such a depth of forgiveness that it sums up. You are loved and you are going to make it. You are going to make it. That's how forgiven, how loved we are. But there's some of you, beloved, you need with this forgiveness, you go, Lord, I need that sense of the fear of the Lord. I need to reckon with you properly. And I want that too. I want to take that next important step. So for those, beloved, just right now, this is home. This is family. This is the Lord sending you a word to deliver us and cause us to live in victory in life, because he is the light in the life of men. And if you want life and light and you just want to say, Lord, I'm just moving, I'm stepping out of where I am and I'm stepping into this next important step, Lord, you just come. I'm just going to ask, we just come to this altar right now. As a declaration of saying, Lord, I hear you and I want what you have for me. And as the musicians play, let us just come and let this be the true altar where true transaction and life change happens. Will you come as the musicians play? Hallelujah. Beloved, every authentic cry from the heart is not just heard, but is understood. God understands. And the one who understands you the most loves you the most. That's how precious you are and how precious we are. Now, would you just open your hearts? Lord Jesus, Lord, you see us before you and how we are a people so in need of your forgiveness. We need it, Lord, day by day. Thank you. That's what you do. You forgive us to the depths. You forgive us completely. And I thank you, Lord, now for those, Lord, that are coming to you and saying, Lord, I want you to change something. I want you to go deep and change something. And I thank you, Lord, that you've been saying, trust me, I am your God. I will do this. Wait on me. Wait on me. Seek my face. And I pray, oh God, that, Lord, you would draw people, draw them to want to spend time with you, draw them into a place of worship, of secret worship, of secret prayer, of secret fellowship with you. Lord, let a new and renewed sense that you are God and I must put you first. I must put you before my face. I must bend my knee to you. I must reckon you as God. I ask for a reverence. I ask for an awe. I ask, Lord, to take the casualness out. I ask you to take my rebellion out. I ask you to remove the half-heartedness in me, oh God. And I thank you as you hear my prayer for forgiveness, as you hear the cry to change me, that, Lord, make it the next step where the fear of you, Lord, that awe and respect, Lord, where things, I give you your right place, Lord. I choose to do that. And, Lord, you will bring a transformation, Lord, as we choose to be your people, walking, Lord, with that proper awe and fear of the Lord in our hearts. I thank you, you will restore the altar of worship to in our hearts individually. And that, Lord, we will be not a discarded and laughed at force in this nation, but those that fear the Lord and speak about you because they've experienced your goodness and your forgiveness, that there is no case so far from you or too deep, that you do not change. Now, Lord, I thank you for the change at this altar, but I ask not just for forgiveness, for a transformation. I ask that the fear of the Lord may be part of our Christian expression of who we are. Let it shape our character, oh God. Let us wait on you. Let us give you your proper due. Forgive us, oh God, for a casualness. Forgive us, oh God, for trifling with sin. Forgive us for our rebelliousness, oh God. But we thank you. You will receive us, oh God, and you will make us of another spirit. You will make us of a people who have understanding, oh God. You will make us of a people that will have a wisdom, oh God, an ever-increasing wisdom to put you in your proper, Lord, relationship to us where you are our God and we are full of awe and respect for you. Oh, thank you for this deliverance, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for our lukewarm kind of worship in this nation, oh God. We want to be, you deserve, Lord, a wholehearted praise, a wholehearted consecration. Now thank you. One more time, you hear the prayer to forgive us, to deliver us, to change us. And Lord, we add to that the next important step. Make us people formed by the fear of the Lord and await on you, O God. We thank you, Lord, there will be this new wind and this fresh understanding in our beings, O God. Thank you for breaking the powers of darkness. Thank you, Lord, for coming against every troubled mind. Thank you, you are good. You are good. There is none like you, O God. Thank you to break the chains of iniquity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You understand the whole story. Thank you, Lord. You will not forsake us and you will not leave us desolate. Our hope is in you. And Lord, we thank you. We honor you as God. There is no one like you. Lord, you alone deliver us, O God, and save us and love us. Lord, may we honor you in the way, Lord, that you deserve. Thank you for this deliverance today. One more time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. A young student one time asked me that was attending this church, he said, Pastor, how do you balance the love of God with the fear of God? I can't grasp it. I can only grasp one side or the other. But how do you get the balance between the two? And I drew back for a moment, and I thought about it, and I said, listen, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to give you a lion, a pet lion. And I said, that lion will walk with you in the street and give you a sense of protection. That lion will lay down in your apartment every night. You can actually neglect him for days on end. He will still be there. He will still care for you. You can lay beside him, and you can tell him all your problems, and he will intently listen to you. We'll give you a sense of well-being like nothing you've ever known in your lifetime. You can do almost anything with that lion except for one thing. Don't slap his face, because he is a lion. That's the balance between the love of God and the fear of God. Don't do despite to the Spirit of grace. And that's what you've heard today. We have this incredible life that we're given, this wonderful opportunity to walk in a new life, incredible grace. But you and I cannot use that as a license to sin. We cannot use it as a license to go where we want to go and do what we know is wrong. It's so important that we, those hidden places, like she shared, Pastor Teresa shared about the back of the toilet, those hidden places that God knows about, so important to get those all cleaned up. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this great message today, Lord. Thank you for the delight and the awesome reverence of God that it puts in our heart. Lord, we will not, by your grace, we will not take for granted this great salvation you've given to us. We will honor you as a holy God. We'll walk with you, Lord, and let you be God and glorify your own name through us in this world. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you, God, as Joshua had to do with the people, you do it with us, Lord. You set us apart for you as a people that are set apart for the purposes of God before we go into this last battle we're about to face in history. God, give us strength, Lord, that can only come from you. Cause us to stand in these days that are becoming increasingly evil. Lord, give us this inner strength that can only come from the Holy Spirit. And give us this awesome reverence of our God. And Father, I thank you for this with all my heart. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Every time we come into the prayer closet, every time we stand before you all alone in our living room, let there be this incredible reverence come into our heart. I am talking to the living God. I am at the throne of God by invitation. I am forgiven, not because of what I have done, and I'm given the awesome privilege of letting Jesus Christ live his life out through mine. Lord, help us not to take that lightly. Help us to shine as lights in this darkened world and to be as salt this wintertime in these streets, Lord, of New York City. Give us grace and give us strength, Lord, to be soul winners for you. Father, you said in your word, David said, God pulled me out of the miry clay and put my feet upon a rock and put a new song within me, and many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. God, let our testimony be otherworldly. The testimony of your life within us, oh God, may it speak volumes, Lord, to this dying society. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that when we fear God, we don't cower before men. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for courage and strength, Lord, to speak when we need to speak and stand up when we need to stand up. God, we thank you, Lord, for making us a testimony of your life and your glory and your salvation in our generation. Lord, we thank you, God, with all our heart that we're not going out of this age a defeated church. We're going out a victorious people because of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for that victory. God, with everything in us, we give you the praise and we give you the glory. This is an hour of victory. This is a relationship of victory with a living God. We thank you for that victory. We give you praise and we give you glory in the mighty and unmatchable name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now give God a shout of praise for what he has done.